live for Friday. Chinese have been indicted by the Soviet Union and all of its major periodicals as being an active partner of imperialism in Africa, on the African continent, and in the Asian theater. Warns China the terse attitude that any further moves on her border or any alliance with imperialist Japan will be met with force. Refugees are fleeing into Zambia from Zaire. Villages are being burned by the occupied forces, the peacekeeping so-called forces that Carter set up with the puppet fascist of Morocco primarily. Literally tens of thousands of people are killed and have been arrested. Zaire has demanded the expulsion of all foreigners in Java because the population is so opposed to the Zairean dictatorship of Mobutu Sese Seko and his U.S.-backed imperialism that foreigners cannot be trusted. So they must close up businesses, give up their jobs, and leave. $56 million food aid suspended from South Korea because the South Korean government refuses to cooperate with the Senate Investigating Committee of the bribe scandals. However, said this was just very little effect on the South Koreans. It was just face-saving because if the Senate wanted to come against the fascist state, they would have done so by denying them arms. Arms is what they depend upon most to uphold the vicious dictatorship of South Korea. One of the four West Germans is back into Germany. However, news has it, one of the four members of the Bader Meinerhof, news has it reliably that there was no cooperation by the Bulgarian government. That in fact, as dreadful as it is to have to concede, that the West German secret police of the neo-fascist state actually kidnapped them at a beach hotel. Bulgaria has lovely beaches on the sea there. And they took them and put them in a cabin, kept them on the floor for hours, and then secreted them out of Bulgaria without any cooperation from the Bulgarian government. This was the statement of Kilmeier himself, who had been the chief architect of the anarchistic Bader Meinerhof, red activist, really anarchist activist who want to tear down the capitalist institutions. They're not directly Marxist-Leninists. Transitional government may have to reconsider in Zimbabwe and accept blacks in the assembly, or there will be an all-out war throughout Rhodesia. Ethiopia making new apparent successes to win support to the central government of Ethiopia from the rebel areas, pockets that have been backed and stirred up to create civil war by U.S. imperialism. Amnesty has been offered to all resistors, and hundreds are taking the offer that they will not be prosecuted for taking up arms against the socialist government of Ethiopia. And elimination of all taxes on lands by Colonel Mengistu, in his wisdom, is taking the bite out of the right-wing resistance in his Eritrea province. Guerrilla activity continues in the Ogaden, backed by Somalia and U.S. and Chinese imperialists. Trade delegation from the United States, EEC, the common market, have gone to Japan on an emergency measure. So that Japan is increasing some imports, but not enough to avoid the collapse of the world capitalist economic system. Tariff cutting must take place. Maybe a downward trend in Japan's surplus, but the trade delegation said the Japanese are still looking after their own capitalist needs above the needs of the other capitalist countries. That's the contradiction that brings capitalism down, finally. Like Hitler turned on the people that set him up to kill off communists and Jews, Roosevelt and Churchill. Kilmeier said that the German police were as vicious as under the days of Hitler and flagrantly violated the sovereignty of the Bulgarian Communist Republic by coming in and taking them away by force, the private plane, without the cooperation of Bulgarian authorities that has no extradition treaty with the West German neo-fascist state. The Committee of Parliament has met, strongly criticizing the British defense and the capitalist who have been building malfunctioning war equipment, particularly a malfunctioning tank that does not work, does not hold up. It's a part of the NATO so-called defenses, we would say offensive maneuvers in Europe. Parliament said this is disgraceful, that actually the industry, the munitions industry, would make faulty equipment and cost the lives of British boys depending upon such equipment. The British government is shaky. According to Guyana Broadcasting Studios, elections will have to be held by October because it's holding on to a thread. The Indian Home Minister and the Prime Minister of India, Desai, are in serious trouble. They have had a major division. The president of India has called the crack very, very serious, and in spite of the frame-ups and smears of Indira Gandhi, the brave woman who led India and was pro-Soviet so many years, that she will stand again because it's a proxy war between the Home Minister, Minister of Home Affairs, who refuses to take actions against Prime Minister Indira Gandhi on the basis that the Indian population will not support it. He's warring with Prime Minister Desai. Prime Minister Desai set up a controlled 7-member parliamentary commission to censor the Home Minister Shikhar. And most authorities say the Janata Party, the ruling party, is splitting, cracking at the seams, and it's the end in sight of the Desai rule. Desai has attempted to bring India back into a pro-Western U.S. imperialist alliance. The Dutch will send no delegation. Netherlands, Holland, or the Dutch, they're all meaning the same, will send no delegation to Argentina, even though their team is in the final match, because of what they say are fascist methods of torture employed by Argentina that does not dignify their approval. The French has also raised the issue of human rights in the troubled nation of Argentina. Even though they're participating, they have to give surface treatment. The imperialists do. They have to at least speak out when 10,000 people in the past several weeks have been arrested and many of them disappeared in the Argentine fascist state. It's perfunctory treatment, though, of human rights. You can depend upon that. Because they're making such an issue of Soviet human rights over two dissidents that have not even been jailed, They have to go through the routine. Carter has called a special emergency energy and petroleum commission. He's recommending to Congress rationing for petrol because the supply of oil and the upcoming increase of oil prices will endanger the U.S. economy. Under President Carter's plan, every car driver will have 3 months ration stamps, allowing a car only 2 gallons of gas per day. Each car in the United States will only have 2 gallons of gasoline to run per day. That'll make it impossible for suburban workers to get to their jobs and then cause a problem, according to many in the Congress of the United States. The people will have to depend upon mass transit, mass transportation, and there's little of it available. For instance, in Los Angeles, where you have no subway system, no major bus network. President Carter, in the emergency, also planned his visit this weekend for the oil-rich state of Texas. Across the nation, he is calling for renewing of price and wage control to combat the spiraling inflation that will destroy the capitalist economy. He called it the nation, of course. We have an entomologist, a very famous man from the University of Chicago, the Chicago Museum, who's in our area, but unfortunately won't be able to get here. He's coming to settle. He said the spiraling cost of living prohibits him existing in USA. He said there was an increase of inflation 11% last month, and he stated further that he pays $550 a month for an apartment in Chicago. And he's a white man. He told Prokes and Hugh that he was coming here to settle because he couldn't live in USA, even though he's a big fat salary as one of the heads of the Chicago Museum. But it's not enough to live on. Kuwait, one of the oil-rich nations, says oil prices will definitely rise next year, without a doubt. They will rise next year. This will throw, according to most capitalist economies, the economist, the world of capitalism into collapse. Death penalty is about to be abolished in France, one of the few that still hold on to it. While the USA has renewed the death penalty in most states, most even European capitalists have abolished the death penalty, said the Guyana Broadcasting Studios. In 1972, 78% of the French population preferred the death penalty or favored it. Now slightly only above 50% still favor it. It's expected that legislation will go to the effect of repudiating the death penalty. In spite of the rightward turn of USA, as you can see in some of the press, I will give you some examples now. What happened to the terrorist who murdered the American ambassador is the screaming headlines of the Times. In the Sudan several years ago, retired Marine Colonel Robert Heinl, H-E-I-N-L, Jr., has reported in the Detroit Free Press and the New York Times, the 8 Palestinian Black September members who in March 1973 murdered U.S. ambassador there and his deputy in Khartoum, K-H-A-R-T-O-U-M, were sentenced to life imprisonment, then deported from the Sudan to Egypt, where they are reportedly living comfortably under house arrest in Egypt. The New York Times screams, the penalty for terrorism, as we would call liberation, has in general been far, far too lenient. The RAND Corporation has studied big capitalist CIA-backed U.S. monopoly capitalist corporation, has studied 77 terrorist incidents in which hostages were taken between 1968 and the present time. It found in those cases where the outlaws were caught and tried, the average sentence meted out was for only 18 months in prison. Furthermore, the RAND study found rough estimates as to the payoffs and risk involved in kidnapping indicate that the terrorist tactic of seizing hostages for bargaining or publicity purposes is far from being irrational, mindless, ineffective, or necessarily perilous. There's almost an 80% chance that all members of the kidnapping team will escape death or capture, and the leftists get their demands. This is very right-wingish talk for what you would used to consider the Detroit Free Press and the New York Times. We were supposed to be more liberal. Once these leftist terrorists, said the Times, make explicit ransom demands, there's a close to even chance that all or some of those demands will be granted, and virtually 100% probability of achieving worldwide or certainly national publicity. Time magazine goes on to say, we support former Los Angeles police chief Ed Davis, who was a candidate for governor of California, who has offered the best solution for terrorists involved in airline hijacking and other crimes. Hang him at the airport. Thus ends the article of the Times. In a witch hunt scare tactic, the New York Post whips up fear and distrust anti-communism by saying in September of 1977, West Point's commandant of cadets, Brigadier General John Bard, delivered a military lecture to several hundred Soviet officers at the Institute of Military History in Moscow. The same instruction on amphibious assault tactics was also given in Leningrad, which helps our communist enemy. You can see the right-wing tone of the press. It's certainly very evident. Even an attack in closing on President Carter. Headlines, again, in the Baltimore Daily. What is the difference between the neutron bomb and the nuclear weapons that are already in Europe? The enhanced radiation, reduced blast warhead, dubbed the neutron bomb, represents a more plausible potential threat to the Soviet Union than do current tactical weapons, should the USSR attack Western Europe. Communist Kremlin knows there would be hesitance in the West to employ the more deadly conventional nuclear weapons on enemy-occupied Allied territory. It should be noted that the 7,000 or so nuclear warheads already in place are capable of both killing through blast and radiation and destroying property. The neutron bomb, however, reduces damage outside the blast area, said the Baltimore Sun, and could thus be used closer to civilian areas with less damage to property. They openly, flagrantly parade what they're concerned about, property. NATO defenses, the puppet military defense of U.S. imperialism, against the much larger Warsaw Pact, the Soviet allies' forces rest on the threat of tactical nuclear weapons, and the neutron bomb is especially suited for destroying an invading force on European terrain and saving the property. That's what capitalists are interested in. Property, controlling land, not people. Hence the hue and cry led by Soviet propagandists, said the Baltimore Sun, against the less damaging neutron bomb. It's just a measure so that they'll be free to attack. It goes into longer. I'm going to have to make it concise. The Soviets would have us believe, said the News of Baltimore, that using any nuclear weapon at all would automatically lead to the end of the world, and are pushing that line to persuade us to disarm, even as they arm themselves and prepare to destroy USA. See the hate, the witch hunt, the old commie scare tactics. Moscow doesn't want us to have this new weapon, said the Baltimore Sun, still a liberal paper supposedly, and President Carter has apparently decided to please our enemies. They accuse him of pleading. Then a last article. Carter goes in. They go into an attack in the New York Post on his recent trip to Africa. Said Carter made no condemnation of the flagrant lack of human rights in Black Africa. Now, Black Africa, that is all-inclusive bigotry. That's the man that attacked us. Rupert Murdoch in New West Magazine. He owns many, many. He's a racist fascist who owns many magazines and press, television across the United States, though he's an Australian. When President Carter said the New York Post visited anti-communist Brazil, he made sure he brought up the human rights issue and went out of his way to consult with the most prominent liberal critics of the pro-U.S. military government there. Here, now you find the New York Post glorifying a fascist, murderous state like that. However, but in Algeria, rather Nigeria and Liberia, both of which rank lower than Brazil on the Human and Political Rights Index issued by Freedom House, that must be sick, the sickest thing I ever heard to say that Nigeria and Liberia have less human rights than Brazil. They have no forms of torture. But it says Carter then gave not nary a mention on the issue when he visited Nigeria and Liberia in Africa, except for criticism of the pro-Western governments of Rhodesia and South Africa. New York Post proudly calling South African racist, apartheid, genocide regime as pro-USA. Carter, in fact, claimed that the military dictatorship of Nigeria's General Obasanjo, which has formally, it's O-B-A-S-A-N-J-O, which has formally banned opposition political parties, is just like the United States in making every effort to enhance human rights. Well, it is true that the normal public executions were postponed during the president's stay, said the New York Post. An American newsman who had been excluded in the past were allowed into Nigeria. As for the freedom in Liberia, the Constitution there prohibits white people from becoming citizens and therefore from owning land. But Liberia means corporations. They've slanted the news. No white corporation-dominated stockholders can own land. This is outrageous, monstrous, and Liberia and Nigeria are one of the more conservative governments. So that shows you the mood in USA. Go back to work with production in mind to help our people. Socialist classes tonight. After that, continued serials on roots, which requires explanations. If I'm not able to do it, you have to show propaganda and everything. But it is at least an insight into the suffering, though it doesn't show the suffering by any means of our black people. It shows some of the suffering as we emerge from slavery in Africa. Remember, if we don't produce and we don't save and we continue to waste, we are killing someone. We are murdering someone that we could have freed from the fascist racism of USA. Thank you. Much love. As you know, Italy has been trying members of the Red Brigade, 15 in all. They were facing sentences which were minimal by the standards of Italian law for alleged kidnapping and conspiracy to commit murder and treason against the state. Anyway, the Turin court was meeting to decide their conviction when 14 of them were sprung out of the prison and left only one. So 14 were sentenced in absentia, in absence, to 15 years, and the one lone remaining prisoner who did not choose to go with them got 15 years. Thus is the scenario of the Red Brigade. Now, more serious developments in the news. Rhodesian white forces, Ian Smith becoming more bellicose and aggressive, receiving more backing from U.S. corporations with imperialist designs on Africa, invaded Mozambique, U.S. planes, even some equipped with U.S. fighters, pilots, strafed and killed several in one village, an undisclosed amount of number of children, An agricultural station was destroyed utterly. No one was expected to be found alive after the bombing, extensive bombing. Napalm was utilized. A horrible anti-civilian weapon created by the war machine industries of U.S. imperialism. The Mozambique Marxist-Leninist force struck back and are fighting inside the borders of Rhodesia in two different places at this time. Simultaneously, after the French poured more troops into Chad, Voice of America, BBC, is crying that after thousands of French were poured in the past weeks to defend Chad, there is a full-scale invasion from Libya, Colonel Gaddafi's Marxist Muslim state. The charge of BBC and Voice of America is that it is backed by Cuban forces. Cuban army is also involved, and they have already penetrated deeply into Chad. Dangerous situations that could lead to a nuclear war. In fact, these days, you wonder what couldn't lead to a nuclear war. Ceasefire is broken. French soldiers are moving to meet the Libyans and Cubans in what could be, in a matter of hours, another confrontation, if the world news reporting is accurate. I'm unable to pick up a Soviet or socialist station at this time, so we cannot confirm, other than from imperialist broadcasting stations, the nature of this attack. Rhodesia will not agree to a peace conference because they feel it would not be productive, that white domination would end in the present climate. However, a number of white settlers are demanding peace negotiations to take place with the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. Joshua Nkoma in Denmark, meeting with the Social Democratic leaders of Denmark, seeking aid for the Patriotic Front, said that he had utilized both Chinese advisors and Cuban advisors in the past in his war for independence. This came as startling news that there had been Chinese involved on the right side of an issue for a change. You must not take heart, because China is renouncing military aid. A Chinese military delegation is going to Kinshasa in Zaire, the fascist regime that represents only 3% of the people under Mobutu. China said no food assistance will be given, but it is apparent that they will give military assistance. The Soviet Union indicts the USA and China for imperialism like never seen before in history. Again, the Soviet Union warns that we're on the road irretrievably to nuclear war. All of the news agencies of the USSR, that is, that are quoted by BBC, Voice of Holland, Voice of America, Voice of the Armed Forces, that I've been able to pick up, being up all night and all day trying to get this news also gleaned in spare time, is difficult. But according to the Soviet Union, people are pushing them too far. Her fears of encirclement are well-founded, even said a BBC commentary. That's the major news of the day. Joshua Nkoma of the Patriotic Front, with Robert Mugabe, the Marxist-Leninist. He did not say while in Copenhagen, Denmark, when the Chinese advisors had been utilized, but he said he gets help wherever he can get it. And he said, we will be free of white rule by the end of this year in Zimbabwe, or what the white man calls Rhodesia. Major incident is this invasion of Chad by Libya and joint Cuban forces. USA says that if this is the case, we are in a head-on collision in Africa between the Soviet Union, Cuba, and the USA. Some history of people that might be of interest. Where is Robert Strange McNamara gone, former Secretary of Defense? As Secretary of Defense under Kennedy and Johnson, Robert McNamara set the antiseptic, computerized tone of the Vietnam War, so much so that it was often called McNamara's Imperialist War. He introduced systems analysis to the Pentagon, that's the headquarters of the military ruling class of monopoly, finance capitalism in USA, and he introduced the automatic battlefield to the war zone. When it became clear that the Vietnamese would win their war anyway, McNamara lost some of his enthusiasm and eventually retired to his present post at the World Bank, where he makes $115,000 a year salary, doling out money to indigent and properly obsequious nations. And like his last job, he sees this one as a boon to civilization. In a recent speech, he called for an end to grinding poverty and described development as not merely an economic goal, but a social one as well. Sounds good. But one of the countries McNamara's bank recently aided last week is Chile, to the tune of $60 million U.S. dollars. When Representative Henry S. Roos, R-E-U-S-S, Democrat, Wisconsin, we should write him, and others objected, McNamara explained that the bank makes loans on economic grounds alone. He proved himself a liar when he said it would be based on social considerations, freedom, human rights. So much for social goals of McNamara and U.S. imperialism through the World Bank.